Take your Bibles, if you will, please. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 2. In the New Testament, kind of in the middle of the New Testament there. You got Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Last week is the week that I usually do our Thanksgiving message, but we had the Bracelands here. I hope you enjoyed them. They did a good job, so I'm going to kind of do that here. Our theme this year with Always Abounding. I had a message here. I was ready for Thanksgiving here, and in fact, it's right here. Walk in Him as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. Colossians 2:7, and we're going to start here in Colossians 2:6. And we'll start reading right there. Colossians 2:6 says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." Now watch me. As you have therefore received, we're saved by Jesus Christ. He comes in, He indwells. Says we have the Holy Spirit in us. In fact, Jesus said, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." And He talked about the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. And so that means the Holy Spirit is really the Spirit of Christ. And he says, so walk ye in Him. Go through life, path through life in Him. In other words, if you are really saved and have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and you're a new creation, then live like a new creation in Christ. And by the way, because He's saying that for us to do that, apparently we have a choice. We can decide whether we're going to walk in Him or whether we're not going to walk in Him. We can be headed to heaven because, listen, we're saved by grace through faith, that not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saves us. We come to Him and admit ourselves a sinner in need of a Savior. God in His mercy will save us, and that's the gift of God. However, once we have the gift of God, that gets us to heaven. But we got a trip that we're going to make between now and then. And we can walk in Him, make use of the fact that we're saved, we're children of God, or we can live as if we're not. So let me go back here again. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, verse 7, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught. Now this is if we're going to walk in Him, we've got to be, first of all, rooted. You've got to be rooted. You've got to be stabilized in, attached to where you are drawing your life from. And then it says, built up in Him. Root is where you get the nutrition and so forth. And so the root is going into where good soil, getting the minerals and all it's supposed to have, then it's going to produce a good, strong plant. And it's going to produce fruit if it's a fruit-bearing type of plant. And so we're going to be built up in Him. So we have new roots, which means we grow up and we produce new fruit. And then it says, established in the faith. We become strong and steady against the winds and the storms of this world, as ye have been taught. Watch, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now it says we're going to be established in the faith. I've started putting up a few Christmas decorations on the outside, and I bought this little tree. It's actually the kind of tree you're supposed to put out by the front door, but I just wanted it at the corner of the garage there because we live on a corner, and I just wanted some lights over there. And it's all real nice. I put that thing in, I staked it in, and so forth. We live on a knoll, and so it's always windy. And the fact is, the very next day, whoosh, it'd been blown over. Why is that? Because it's not real. We got other trees in the yard. Wind didn't bother them. Why? Because they're rooted and established. Now listen, I'll tell you what. There's an awful lot of Christians who are artificial. Or they pretend they're rooted and grounded. We've had some trees over the years. I remember my dad had one, and we thought it was a great big tree. It was good. But all the roots were on the surface. And we had a really heavy rain, and all got wet, And it just all came up. There was now you got some trees, Mark. They kind of put that what do you call that? Taproot, yeah. Weeds do that. You ever notice that? Thistles go on forever. You never quite get all of it out, you know, because they got a taproot. They're not going anywhere. Somehow we're not wise enough to tap ourselves down. So we're going to be rooted and established in the faith as you've been taught. And then watch, it says, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now watch me. In other words, overjoyed, abounding, grateful for the difference it has made having the Lord in your heart and your life and giving the Lord, watch this, it's an important word, credit for the change in your life. The root, the tree doesn't really get credit for what it's done because it just rooted itself into where the source is. But the source is what lives through the tree. Look at now, watch me. That's what we're supposed to have. But verse 8. But beware lest any man spoil you. Now watch me. As Nathan was saying in Sunday school, he's got one son, which is the only grandchild I have in town. I got five over in Cleveland, five in Vermont, serving the Lord, which is good. But anyway, I got one in town. And so he might be spoiled, but that's not what I'm talking about here. If marauders would go into a town and they would decimate a town, they take everything that's of value out. You would say that they took the spoil, or you could say they spoiled the town. There was great precious things that the town had, and they took them and they spoiled the town. They stole them. And he says, listen, you've got the opportunity to grow in Christ and so forth, but beware lest any man spoil you. Watch out. Don't let anyone steal that joy from you to the point that you are no longer thankful. You just hang tight with me here. That you're no longer thankful for the world, and even some worldly Christians will try to talk you out of your faith and thus out of your joy, or they may convince you that it was not the Lord making this difference in your life, but it was really you all along. So you don't need to be thankful to God because you were the one who caused your success. And that takes the faith that belongs clearly in the Lord and places that faith in ourselves. How do they convince that? Well, beware lest any man spoil you, here it is, through philosophy and vain deceit. Empty, foolish self-reliance after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world. In other words, believing the world's perspective. What? And not after Christ. See, if we keep listening to the world will convince us that the new life we have in Christ is not such a good thing and even a detriment to our life, and you will lose your gratitude and thankfulness. Oh, you don't need that. Oh, that's foolishness. Well, they're just making it hard on you. Verse 9. Now remember what you have in Jesus. Well, watch. For in him, in Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. When Christ comes in, we've got all the fullness of the Godhead bodily in our heart. Now, we're not God, but God's in there teaching us and guiding us. You have God inside you wanting to direct you. And then it says in verse 10, you are complete in him. The world has nothing to offer that is good that the Lord is not already providing. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give you the desires of thine heart. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. So he says, this is him. He's the fullest of the Godhead bodily, which is the head of all principality and power. God, listen, the Lord has the authority to make you, to make sure you have what you need. Why? Because he's the authority. He's the all, he's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's always has all power. The world does not have the authority or the ability. So we should be thankful we are Christians and walking in the light and not still walking and stumbling through life in the darkness. And if you are truly thankful to God, it's because you truly, and what this is very important here. This is where I'm going with this. If you are truly thankful to God, it is because you truly believe that God is working in your life in a miraculous way. And if God is watching and if God is watching out for you, even watching over the things you can't even see, working behind the scenes, then you will have a peace that passes all understanding. In fact, Colossians 3, one chapter over, verse 15. Colossians 3:15. It says this. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Now I'm getting ahead of myself, but I want you to understand something here. When we talk about being thankful, having thanksgiving, it's more than just being happy to have what we have. You know, little kid, you know, at Thanksgiving dinner, and say, "Let's tell everybody, tell us what you're thankful for." My truck. He said, "Well, he's giving Thanksgiving for his truck." No, he's not thanking the truck. He's glad he has the truck. I'm playing semantics here, but you're going to see that in the Bible, Thanksgiving is more than just being glad you have what you have. We are thankful because we believe, when he says in this passage here, we're letting the peace of God rule in our hearts, and we're thankful because we just let the Lord rule in our heart and life and rest in it, and we're resting in him, and we're thankful for the fact that we have the Lord leading us. How do we do that? Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. How do you have the Lord lead you? Know the word of God. How many times have we talked about that this year? Faith comes to hearing, hearing by the word of God. So let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Here it is again, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Let's have a word of prayer, and I'm going to talk about abounding with thanksgiving. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. Some just simple principles here, but Lord, I think sometimes we miss out on what we're supposed to be doing here. So Lord, I pray that you give us your wisdom, give us your word. Lord, we need your Holy Spirit. Help me, Lord, here to do what you've called me to do here this morning. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. The concept of thanksgiving existed long before our nation decided to have a national day of thanksgiving. In fact, thanksgiving existed before our nation was founded. Wait a minute. Long before America was discovered, before the pilgrims, thanksgiving, or the giving of thanks, has existed ever since there was a creation of Jehovah with the capacity to appreciate what he and him, he is and what he has done. Now, why was Thanksgiving established in our country? Well, George Washington issued a proclamation on October 3rd, 1789, designating Thursday, November 26th is a national day of thanks, which is exactly 234 years today, November 26th. And in his proclamation, Washington declared that the necessity for such a day sprung from the Almighty's care of Americans prior to the Revolution, assistance to them in achieving independence, and help in establishing the constitutional government. Now, I'm going to read this first, then I'm going to go back and put the words in here that it's implying. Watch this. George Washington. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and to humbly implore His protection and favor. Now, he makes a list here, but there's an implication here. Let me read you what it implies. Whereas it is the duty of all nations, to first acknowledge the providence of Almighty God. Two, the duty of all nations to obey His will. The duty of all nations to be grateful for His benefits. And the duty of all nations to humbly implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now he says we want to have a public thanksgiving. You know, it's interesting. How many times do people say sincerely, well, I just thank God for what we have. I just thank God for the you know. No, you know what I tell you? A lot of times, well, thank God for that. Praise the Lord for that. And I hate to say it, we're using that phrase, basically using His name in vain. It's just a phrase we throw on there. I mean, Biden uses that name, that phrase. Are we embarrassed to show sincere gratitude to God in public? Not if we truly are thankful to God. The problem with some folks is that the problem with some folks is that to truly show thankfulness to God in public is to confess publicly that you truly believe in God. And that's uncomfortable for many people. The book of Romans says, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. And confession shall be made with thy mouth. Does our nation have a difficulty being thankful to God because it has a difficulty admitting it believes in God? We'll say we're thankful. But there's more to it than that. George Washington goes on and says this, now therefore I do recommend and assign Thursday the 26th day of November next to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all that good, the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, and that will be. That we may then all unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation. And I'm going to add this phrase in here like I did the first time. That we may then all unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for the signal and manifold mercies and favorable interpositions of His providence, which we experienced in the course and conclusion of the late war. And that we may then all unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed. That we may then all unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national constitution now lately instituted. And that we may then all unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general for all the great and various favors which he hath bestowed and conferred upon us. Sounds like George Washington said, we have everything that we have is because of God. And if we stick with him, we're going to be good. Let me give you a couple points here. These may seem simple, but I think they're very important in the life of a Christian, life of a nation. Number one, to truly have thanksgiving, one must have an object to which it gives credit for the benefits which one is grateful to have been endowed. Let me say it this way. Thanksgiving is not about saying, I'm glad I have this. Thanksgiving is being grateful to the one who gave us that. That's so simple. But the fact is, there's an awful lot of people who are not thankful to God. They're just glad they have it. Like the little boy. What are you thankful for? I'm thankful for my truck, for my teddy bear, and for this, you know, and, you know. Well, tell God, why? You know, why? What did he have to do? I got it from mommy. And even then, he may not even think about the fact that mommy sacrificed and spent the money to be able to give it to him. He's just glad he has it. Now watch me. George Washington gave the Almighty God all the credit that was and is and will be. He was grateful to him. Listen, there's no thanksgiving unless the gratitude is directed toward a benefactor. You understand what I'm saying? You cannot give thanks to the air around us. Being thankful means more than simply liking what you have. Being thankful assumes that there is some source which gave us that thing which we like having. Listen, you can be thankful for the air, but you don't thank the air for being air. You thank the God who gave us the air and the capacity to breathe it. Our thanksgiving goes to the God who decided to exercise his mercy and give us air to breathe, not to the air. You say, well, you're playing semantics. No, I'm not playing semantics. Thanksgiving is directed to the one who has given us the blessing. Who gets the credit that you have life? You. Colossians 1:16 says this, it was just a page back. For by him were all things created, speaking about Jesus, that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and we get to enjoy them. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So whatever we have, God had his finger in on it. In fact, he's the initiator and he's the completer. If he wasn't in on it, we wouldn't have it. So to truly have thanksgiving, we must have an object. And our object should be the Lord God Almighty. An object to which we give credit for those things that we are thankful for. Number two, when a nation forgets God, the people lose sight of the benefactor who has been gracious to them, and thus they become unthankful. When we forget God, we become unthankful. When people forget God, they've forgotten who gave them life in the first place. These people will soon believe that they have the blessings because of some power of their own. And when a nation becomes unthankful, it has already forgotten God. It used to be in our society, people would say, well, thank you, please. Thank you. Thank you very much. Listen, when Janet and I go out to eat or something, sometimes I'll say thank you. And to be honest with you, I've had times when the waitress or the waiter looked at me like, oh, you're welcome. They almost thank me for saying thank you. Because we don't live with a heart of gratitude these days. It's almost like we live as if everybody owes us. Huh? In fact, if you don't give it to me, I'll just take it. I need reparations. Well, listen, we ought to have reparations for all the Baptists that were persecuted in the early years of the nation. You go back and study it. They were put in jail because they weren't part of the national church. They were outlaws, so they thought. Now, I've read this for you before, but Abraham Lincoln said this. Again, I'm going to repeat a line here so you can see the importance here. Lincoln said, this is in his proclamation to establish Thanksgiving. Whereas it is the duty of nations. Isn't that funny? George Washington said duty too. Remember that? Abraham Lincoln said, it is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God. You know what it means? We gotta give God credit for everything. Dependence on Him. To own our dependence upon the overruling power of God, the duty of nations as well as of men to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow. Who are we accountable to? God. Yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, because we know who God is. We confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Amen, a praise for that, huh? Yeah. It is the duty of all nations as well as of men to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord. Listen, this is all part of being thankful. Realizing who God is. Don't forget that everything we have came from Him. He goes on to say this, we have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We've been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We've grown in numbers, wealth, and power, as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us, and we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. In other words, we should thank ourselves. And if that is the case, this is my statement, if that is the case, then we should thank ourselves rather than thank God. It says, intoxicated and unbroken success, we become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offending power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. Too many in our selfish American society call Thanksgiving, I don't want to say this in salt, maybe you've used this in jovial conversation, but we call it Thanksgiving Turkey Day. And I understand. Some call it Football Day. Some people call it Parade Day. Some people call it Kickoff to Christmas Season Day. Some call it Family Day. According to the Word of God, Thanksgiving is not a day. Thanksgiving is not a day about indulging in food and fun and football. Thanksgiving is not a day about people, pie, and parades. And Thanksgiving is not even a day about giving thanks. Let me give you number three. Thanksgiving is an attitude of the heart and a way of life for one that fears God. Thanksgiving's deeper than just simply saying, I like what I have. Thanksgiving is an attitude of the heart and a way of life for one that fears God. Those that no longer fear God will become unthankful, because we're not giving Him the credit. So why thank Him? He didn't do anything for me. I've actually heard people say, well, God's never done anything for me. I've heard them say that. It's the epitome of what I'm trying to say here. 2 Timothy 3:1 says this. Watch, you've heard this verse. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now, it can get worse than where we are, but I'll tell you what, our world's in convulsions. It hasn't been in for a while. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Why? For men shall be lovers of their own selves. They care about themselves. Covetous. In other words, they just want to want. They're boasters. They're proud. They're blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. You know what we hear the proud boasters, you know, covetous, disobedient to parent, all this stuff, and you hear unthankful. That's funny. How do you put that in there? That's not so bad. I mean, okay, didn't say thank you. I mean, is that really all that bad? Apparently it is. You know what that means? Unthankful? No longer gives God the credit. That's what it's saying. No longer giving God the credit. And then it goes on and says, unholy. In other words, not set apart to God, but set apart for their own pleasures. And when we become unthankful, it's because we no longer fear God, and soon we no longer seek to live holy and righteous lives. It goes on and says, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fears, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. You know what Jesus said? You can have a form of godliness and still not be thankful. Thankfulness is an attitude of the heart and a way of life. One that is unthankful will most likely be wicked in multiple ways, and we just read it. They've forgotten God. So what is there to stop them from fulfilling any wicked desires of their deceitful hearts? They have forgotten, James 1:17, that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now wait a minute. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. So when's the last time you thanked Him? Do we live in an attitude of what I have, God has given me? I live under the spout of the mercy of God. It'll change the way you live. You know what? It'll make you appreciate what you do have. Because how much of the good does God owe us? He gives it to us because of His mercy. And what does mercy mean? He had pity on us. So number four, thanksgiving comes from a heart of gratitude. Thanksgiving means giving God the credit. The giving of thanks comes from a heart of gratitude, and gratitude comes from a heart that fears God, that realizes God is who He says He is, and that God is sovereign. In fact, Thomas Jefferson said, I fear when I think about our nation that God is sovereign. He said, I tremble for my nation when we've taken away the truth of God. I'm paraphrasing. That we do our own thing. He says, and we can't believe, I can't expect for his mercy to last forever. If we fear God, we know that we are sinners. And then we also know that only by God's mercy are we spared. We know that we do not deserve anything good from God, but yet in his mercy, he saves us and blesses us. We are grateful for what he has given and what we've been given. And we have been given and what we have been given is ours by the grace of God. We are grateful because we do not deserve God's grace. Grace is unmerited favor. And we appreciate the grace of God because we realize how great and holy and righteous God is and sinful and how undeserving we are. Thanksgiving comes from a heart of gratitude. But watch me. Number five, gratitude comes from humility. Gratitude comes from humility. Humility, watch me, is a proper assessment of who and what we are in the light of who and what God is. Now, some people think, well, humility is saying, well, I'm no good. I don't have anything to offer. That's like a guy who plays basketball and he just drops three-pointers everywhere he wants to, just dropping them. And you say, boy, you're a great basketball player. Oh no, I'm not anything special. Well, yeah, you are. That's a lie. You know, don't deny what God made you. However, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What does sin mean? To miss the mark. No matter how great we are, and there might be greatness comparatively, humanly speaking, but compared to God, we come up short. Gratitude realizes our shortcomings, and humility comes from recognizing who God is and having faith in the Lord. Now watch me. Romans 1:18 says this, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, in the heavens, in creation. For God hath showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So we see creation and realize who he is, and there's a God out there, and we're accountable to him. And it says, and so we are being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Watch this. Because that when they knew God, they saw who he was, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Now he didn't throw that word in because he just needed a space filler. You know what he says? Look at it this way. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they willing to give him credit. But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. One that does not recognize who God is will not be thankful for his benefits. Number six, I'm coming down the end here. Number six, thanksgiving is a matter of faith. Thanksgiving is a matter of faith. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He says, let your cool head, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord's at hand. Just be even keeled, because God's right there. Watch. Do you believe he's right there? See, your moderation won't be seen if you don't really truly believe God's right there. You can say that you think he's right there to help, but if you are still worrying about it and you're trying to figure out, then you don't believe he's right there. Because we know who God is. He can handle anything. And he loves us with an everlasting love. He says, call on me and I will hear you. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And yet we worry about it, and our moderation, our emotions are out of whack, and we're not under control. And we say because we believe he's right here. But apparently, in all practicality, we don't believe he's right here. But the fact is, if I believe he's right here, I'm going to give him credit for it. And the next little piece here, I'm not getting ahead of myself there, there's going to be a peace that passes all understanding because I know who he is. Now watch me. Philippians 4:4. Let your moderation, that's 4:5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That really doesn't mean, well, you better be thankful before you even ask him. He's not going to give it to you. No. Thanksgiving is an attitude of the heart and a way of life. I'm giving God the credit for who he is. He's all power. He's the Godhead of all principalities and powers of creation. He created this whole thing. He's got everything under control. Got everything under control. He's got everything under control. The wind and the rain are his. There's an old children's song. Thankful says, I'm all right. Because I know who God is. And he's with me. And will never leave me nor forsake me. Oh, I may walk away from him. But he never walks away from me. So he said, with supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If I pray with thanksgiving, it means I have faith in the promises of God. I know that the answer, if prayed in the will of God and are promised to me by God, is a sure thing. It's a matter of faith. I can rejoice and be thankful even before it comes. Listen, you're not going to be thankful to God if you do not believe God is who he says he is. If you are thankful to God, then you must have faith in God, believing that he is and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And if we believe in God and are humble before God, we will be thankful. If you believe in God, as does the devil, and yet you are not thankful to God, as we read in 1 Romans 1, you're proud and you can expect the Lord to resist you in life. He resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Thanksgiving is a matter of faith. Number 7. One that is filled with the Spirit of God is thankful. Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord, a rejoicing spirit. And then it says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's got everything in control. Giving thanks always for all things. And then I mentioned it. Lastly, thankfulness brings peace. Thanksgiving should help us remember who God is. And for the nation, should remember who brought us to this point. Whatever good we have, who brought us here. And when we realize who brought us here, and that, by the way, he never dies. He never goes away. He's eternal. He never lessens. He can maintain it and make it even greater than it ever was before if we stick with him Thankfulness brings peace because we know the source of all our need. Again, Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Thankfulness believes in that to which it gives thanks. Let me say that again. Thankfulness believes in that in which it gives thanks. If you're thankful to God, it must be because you truly believe in God and all that He is. I'm not saying do you word the words, I thank God. I'm not talking about that. It's an attitude. The gratitude is an attitude of the heart. And the heart is there because you have faith, and that faith will bring peace in your heart. If you believe in God and you're resting in God, you're going to have the peace of God. And you can tell much about a person's faith in God or the lack thereof by how thankful they are toward God. Let me say that again. You can tell much about a person's faith in God or the lack thereof by how thankful they are toward God or not. We can tell much about a spiritual condition of our nation by the lack of gratitude toward God. And one reason we live in perilous times is because we are unthankful, which implies no fear of God. Are you truly thankful to God? Or are you just glad to have the things that you have? What was the source of those things that you have? That is who we are to be thankful to. Abounding in thanksgiving. Who's the source of all things? Who is it that you give thanks to? You wake up in the morning. You're still breathing. Thank you, Lord. You might even say, thank you, Lord, for sending me to that doctor who found the problem that keeps me breathing. It's all right. You can thank the doctor. But if the doctor didn't have breath to breathe himself, he would be no value to you. And who breathed the breath of life in him? God. God.